talking today with Dr. David Anderson, Texas A&M. David, you got kind of the market prediction or review responsibilities for the SOCA meeting. This cattle market's been a really interesting animal this year. Seems like normally we're kind of really struggling that May-June period, but we really had quite a rally in this slaughter cattle market here in 2008.
Well, we sure did, and a lot of the increase at that time of the year, you know, we'd had prices lower earlier in the year, mm-hmm. but it finally got to that rally that we usually see in the spring as we got to some better outdoor weather for people to get out and cook some steaks and things. We really saw a rally in the wholesale market in the cutout, and as that took off, the live fed cattle market took off too. Now we're starting to see that pull back a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but still much stronger than a year ago for this time of the year, mm-hmm. in this kind of the summer month period, which is normally the lowest time of the year for fed cattle. That's our seasonal lows, if we ever have a normal year.
Yeah, whatever normal year is, that's for sure.
That's right.
But, you know, when it comes to where we really stand in the various categories, the fat market, the yearling market, the calf market, you know, give me your thoughts about where we are right now.
Well, you're really, more so this year than any other year, I think we've got to split up all those categories and look at them separately. Even in the cow-calf sector, the calves, the stocker cattle, feeder cattle type, we're really seeing large differences on the weights in terms of the weights. The market, the incentive in the market is to sell heavier weight calves, and that's what always happens when we have expensive feed. Now we got feed that's beyond expensive, yet that still holds. We still have demand for feedlot cattle. We've got demand for fed cattle. We've got meat demand that has been pretty good for beef and other meats as well, that has held up very well over the last several years. So as we look at those weights, the incentive in the market is to sell heavier calves that got those pounds from grass. So if we look at some of our markets around the state and around Texas as well, calves that are heavier, 750, 800, 850 pounds, prices are as good or better than they were a year ago. It's the lighter weight calves where we're really taking a beating. Particularly kind of what I would call middleweight calves, 500 to 600 pound calves, are well off of a year ago. Lighter weight ones have held up a little better, but they're still declining as well because they've got to go somewhere. They're being sold, they've got to go somewhere, and they need to go to grass. Unfortunately, if we look at a good bit of the state of Texas, we're in a serious drought, and these high temperatures up into Oklahoma this week and Texas that look like they're going to continue, we have a lot of calves that are being forced to sell because we don't have the grass. Those calves, while the market's telling us get them heavier, mm-hmm. we don't have any grass to get them heavier, so we really take the double whammy of having to sell more calves at a time that they're taking a discount. So those lighter weight calves are really the ones seeing price discounts, and it shows up, you know, very clearly in the marketplace.
What I guess in this case we're really looking at the market signal being a little more pronounced than normal.
Absolutely, a lot more pronounced, a lot more with wider spreads between the weight breakdowns and wider spreads between steer and heifer prices too. Some of those middleweight, lightweight heifers, because of cost, because, you know, whether it's fertilizer, diesel, all the costs, including feed, there's not a lot of incentive to expand herds. And so that's what heifers are for, is they either going to expand the herd or they're going into to be fed and go into our beef production. And so we've seen some large spreads this year on between steers and heifers.
How does a guy survive? The cow-calf operator, let's start with those guys. How are we going to get them successfully through all this transition of a higher plateau on input prices and all of that?
I think you said the key word, and that's the transition to higher prices, not only to having to adjust how we do business given input costs. Those transitions are never pleasant. We have producers that will go out of business. That's the hard reality of letting the market work, as we do in the cattle industry, particularly in calves fed in the cattle industry. That's the way it works. But regardless of that, we do have producers all over who are shrinking the size of their herd. One of the stories that we don't hear a lot about is cull cow prices are extremely good, and that's related to the hamburger market. We're shrinking our herd size because costs are higher, but we've got very high prices historically for cull cows. And so the opportunity is there. As you make some decisions on some cows and how you're going to position yourself for the future, prices today for those cull cows are pretty darn good historically. And that provides a little bit of cushion there. But still, you know, the way what people are going to do is, you know, if you like the phrase hunker down, that's what they're going to do. And really watch their costs and really plan as we move to a higher cost plateau how to make it. And no, the end result is going to be that we have fewer beef cows in the U.S., and we're going to have higher calf prices and cattle prices and beef prices because of it.
The stocker cattle phase of it, you know, Oklahoma and portions of Texas have always been famed for the wheat pasture opportunities. Of course, higher wheat prices, a lot of these guys are a little more concerned about putting cattle on that pasture to maybe tear up the wheat and lose a bushel or two of grain. You know, are we gonna see that type of that segment survive, you think, pretty well? Or are, you know, they're primarily margin operators?
I think we're going to see that side of the business or the operation of cattle business actually thrive, and that's an area where I have a lot of optimism for the rest of the year and next year. And the reason I say that is, yes, wheat's high priced, and that's an incentive for guys with wheat, you know, not to put those cattle on. You know, let's not diminish that yield potential when wheat's $8. But on the flip side of that, we're going to have cattle producers who balked at paying what they were asked to pay last year for wheat pasture, but took them to feedlot instead. Well, as corn went up, that didn't turn out too well. And I think so our changing mindset in terms of, hey, this is what it costs for wheat pasture in today's day with our cost today, given that the market incentive is to get more weight from grass on there, I think if we look at the futures market, what it's got for feeder cattle and fed cattle, what some of the calf prices are doing, I think it's a real opportunity this year to, as long as it rains and we get wheat pasture established, that this is a year that we'll see a lot more demand for calves to go on wheat pasture and a lot more demand for wheat pasture, because we want to get that weight from the grass and not from corn in a feedlot.
Got to buy them right, obviously.
Absolutely. That's one thing that's never changed, no matter what happens in terms of cost. Buying them right is a big part of making money in, you know, every stage of the business.
A lot of red ink in our feedlots. How much, you know, are we over? Do we have too much capacity? What's going to happen there?
We got a lot of red ink in our feedlots, and I think it's probably fair to argue that we do have an overcapacity of cattle feeding. We've got a smaller cowherd. Our cowherd's getting smaller as we liquidate a little bit because of high costs. That means there's fewer calves, and to get them on feed means those who are still there got to bid to get them. We've also got fewer cattle coming from Mexico. Those are all feeder cattle that go to feedlots eventually. That's tightened up. We've had more coming from Canada, but their herd is shrinking also. And so over time, we're looking at fewer beef cows, fewer calves, and continue to support calf prices, because that's what it takes to get them in that feedlot. With fewer numbers, you got to pay more to get them. And I think we've seen that ongoing. As corn went up, we had a relatively few number of calves, and so those calf prices haven't come down as much as we might otherwise expect from high feed costs, and it's just because the numbers of them and the number of feedlots we have. But I think it's important to say that the cattle feeding industry isn't going away. Americans, we like beef. Our exports are booming, and I think they're going to keep growing. And so for us to produce beef, the only way we can produce that much beef that Americans want to eat is by having our cattle feeding industry and continue to feed calves. And so, again, we've got a difficult transition where, you know, the feeding industry's had a huge amount of red ink. But at the same time, we're going to keep having a cattle feeding industry, and what's going to happen is prices are going to adjust to make cattle feeding work.
Sounds like, almost looks like the futures are telling us we've got some up on these slaughter cattle prices coming later this year, early next year.
We sure do. If you the fed cattle, the market for second quarter April, has been, I think when I left the office, it was $1.10 for fed cattle. That quarter of the year appears to me to be a quarter where we're going to have less beef production. We may be down 4% beef production, maybe more. But we are also, I think, going to have less chicken. we may have less pork, too. So it's a quarter where we're going to see overall meat supplies in the U.S. really contract a little bit. And it's in response, some of it's timing, but largely in response to where feed costs are. So that's if we actually have less meat supplies on the market, that's when we can really see an increase in prices. And I think the futures market is reflecting that. Now, that it's come down a good $7 a hundredweight in the last several weeks. That April was up at 117, maybe 118, before it corrected back down to $1.10. But still, $1.10 is that's a pretty robust fed cattle price, I think, for most people who have been involved. $1.10 is a pretty darn high price. And you know, so we do see that going on. The market is expecting that we're going to be cutting back production. Fewer cattle, fewer calves, fewer cows, and that high prices are going to result from it.
One last question, David. That's this whole issue of a commodity product versus a value-added product. You know, we've seen a lot of programs still. We're almost like we're still trying to, in the toddler stage maybe, of trying to figure out these various value-added programs, source-verified, all of that. Are we going to see this thing really start to mature?
That's a great question, and I think that's a part of the industry where we're still figuring out. But it's a constant figuring out, because we got 300 million people in the U.S. We got this whole range of consumers wanting different things. We got some consumers who will pay for that source verified, for that information about it, and we have other people who don't want to. And sorting out all those market segments and delivering what people want, and as consumers change and say they want something else, that's a constantly evolving process. One of the things I would say is that I do wonder about some of the retail type things, the information about production processes. If you look at various, you know, whether we call them natural or organic or things like that are higher priced. As we've got an economy that is struggling, and with consumers paying such high prices for everything else, how are those going to evolve? Those type of market niches going to evolve in the future when we got consumers that are in some more trouble, that have to spend money other places? There's a lot of those types of marketing programs that have been started, and only time's going to tell how consumers want to spend their money on various programs like that.